Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 8. You'll notice I don't say revelations. There's one revelation, that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many, many aspects and ramifications to the revelation of Jesus Christ. However, we're limiting our comments to chapter 8 and chapters 9. The series, Divine Repetitions, message number 14 out of 15. The remaining two messages this week and next week are both dealing with the eschatological book of Revelation, dealing with prophecy, the prophecy of the great and terrible tribulation known as the time of Jacob's trouble, that time where Israel passes under the rod of judgment until she's willing to say, "Blessed is he that cometh in the day of the Lord and in the name of the Lord." Revelation chapter 8, notice verse 13. We have the divine repetition here presented three times. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. The book of Revelation comprises the judgments of the Lord. Some of them are providential, others direct judgment from God. None of them actually brought about by what we would call today global warming or environmental pollution caused by the negligence of man. But when we look at the judgments, they can neatly be divided into the seals, the trumpets, and the vial or bowl judgments. This particular repetition, this threefold woe, is looking at the trumpet judgments. You remember in Revelation chapter 6, you have the judgments that are called the seal judgments. And they deal with the arrival of the Antichrist during the tribulation period. And of course, we have already been raptured out before the coming of the great tribulation period. Aren't we thankful that God has not appointed us to wrath, but salvation through our precious Lord Jesus Christ? However, we also need to remember that there will be believers saved during the tribulation period that will have to endure many of these terrible judgments. And by way of interest, if any of you ever have taken the time to do this, look at Revelation 6 and the seal judgments and see how they neatly fall into Matthew chapter 24 and the judgments that are mentioned there. Therefore, Matthew 24 does not deal with the rapture, as David Hunt has taught, but he is talking about the second coming of Christ to establish his kingdom in Matthew chapter 24. But my attention needs to be in chapter 8. I want us to look at chapter 8, at the seven trumpet judgments that fall upon the earth during the tribulation period. And I'm going to give you a quick overview of these trumpet judgments as part of our study, because our major purpose to gather together is that to spend time in prayer. But you'll notice Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1, I've already given you the setting, so that's the first point that we're looking at. The setting are the trumpet judgments that follow the seal judgments. We've seen the setting, but now let's take a look at the silence in verse 1. When he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. You know, the silence in heaven is almost a holy hush, because there's a holy hush, a godly awe in heaven because of the judgments, the severe judgments that are going to come upon the earth. I heard one preacher get up and say, "Well, this is a proof text that there are no women in heaven." because there's silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. Well, I don't agree with that position, but I got to admit to the courage of the pastor that said that. But nonetheless, the silence is actually a holy hush and awe. Think of it. All of the praise in heaven, all of the accolades and the worshiping of the Lord, but there's a holy silence for the space of half an hour. Just think of it. If heaven gasps in horror at the judgments that are to come, how much more should the inhabitants of the earth be in horror and come and flee to the throne of grace, and yet they will not. It's amazing how individuals will prefer unbelief to the truth. How many people will mock the coming calamity, and then it'll be too late. So there's silence there, but then there's also, number three, seven angels that are mentioned in chapter 8 and verse 2. I saw the seven angels which stood before God. To them were given seven trumpets. And the trumpet judgments, you see, is the playing of the trumpets, the sounding of the trumpets before these judgments come. Now let's quickly take a look at the series now as our fourth point. And the series are trumpet judgments that are enumerated for us. And I just want to briefly comment on them. They begin in verse 7 with the first trumpet. The first angel sounds, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood. And there were cast upon the earth, hail falling upon the earth. There was some talk about hail damage in the last storm. At the coming of the Lord, the hail will be the weight of a talent, which is about 75 pounds. Every time it hails, people that repair roofs and people involved in body work like Glenn Miller will rub their hands together and say, oh, we got business coming. But most of us don't look forward to hail, but I sure wouldn't want hail coming down on my roof or on top of my cars weighing 75 pounds apiece, much less being actually under that. But notice that in addition to the hail mixed with blood that was cast upon the earth, a third part of the trees were burnt up and all of the green grass was burnt up. You can imagine what it would have done to the crops. Look at the second trumpet in verses 8 and 9. The second angel sounds, and if it were as a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. Could this be a great meteorite, as it were, speaking through the language of appearance here? And a third of the sea was blood-like. It was just like blood. The third part of the creatures that were in the sea and had life died. And a third part of the ships were destroyed. This is the calamity that comes, not because the Lord is unmerciful, but because men and women are unwilling to repent. Verse 10 is the third trumpet. The third angel sounds, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as if it were a lamp. And it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. The name of the star is called Wormwood. And a third part of the waters became wormwood, which is a very bitter, bitter. And many men died because of the waters, because they were made bitter. Fourth trumpet, and here's where the woes come in. The fourth angel sounds, the third part of the sun was smitten. That would have the idea of the intensity of the sun. The intensity of the light was diminished by one-third. A third part of the moon, its reflective capacity. A third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. You remember Matthew 24 says that the days shall be shortened. And evidently by a third, you're talking about 16-hour cycles that are reduced, and except those days be shortened for the elect's sake. Remember that in Matthew 24? That's a reference here. And there's a providential purpose in that, the protection of God's people, those saved after the beginning of the tribulation period. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." Then you've got the fifth trumpet. And I'll tell you, you look at Revelation chapter 9 and you see the fifth trumpet. Notice what it says. "The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him," here a satanic being is called a star, "and to him is given the key of the bottomless pit," literally the pit of the abyss. That's not the lake of fire now, but it's a special place laid aside where demonic spirits are incarcerated as we speak. They're incarcerated into the pit of the abyss, and they're going to be released during the tribulation period. And this satanic angel, by divine permission, opens the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing. After all, it's already been affected in verse 7 greatly. Neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Isn't that wonderful how God has control even of the demonic forces? To them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. So those that are attacked by these demonic beings don't have the power to kill, but to torment for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. And you've seen that many, many places, especially in Arizona and in the deserts, how they strike with their tails. "And in those days," get this, "men shall seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them," for that five-month period. You know, this ought to be an encouragement of blessing for us to know that we have not any need to go through that, but it certainly is a woe to those who make light of the coming of the Lord and fail to see the horrendous nature of the tribulation period. Look at these scorpions. Their hair is as the hair of women. Their teeth are as the teeth of lions. I'll tell you what, I sure wouldn't want to come across any of these. They have breastplates for protection. You know, it's amazing when you see, how many of you ever seen these Florida locusts that are yellow or orange color? Have you ever tried to step on them? Some of them are impervious to your attacks. I remember one time in Pine Hills, I was changing a car tire, and one of those big yellow locusts came by, and I took a red brick, typical red brick, and I took it and I threw it on that locust, and it just stayed right there. And I started changing the tire, stopped changing the tire, and it was on cement. And I took that brick and threw it full weight, and I said, "Well, he's dead. I'll go back to changing my tire." After I changed the tire, I lifted up the brick, and that locust kept on crawling along, and I literally had to finish him off with great, great exercise to do it. And, you know, you look at the size versus the body armor on that guy. and what that little locust was able to endure. Now, if you take one of those locusts proportionately and make it the size of a man, and then give it the armaments that it has, you can certainly see that these guys can do some damage. Their tails are like scorpions, verse 10, stings in their tails. They have power to hurt 5 months. And notice, they have a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. That's not the lake of fire now, but it's the pit of the abyss. And the name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. In the Greek, it's Apollyon, which means destroyer. One woe is past, and behold, there come two more woes thereafter. Well, the sixth trumpet judgment is found in chapters 9 through 13. And all I want to say about that is the incredulity of the unbelief and the resistance to the truth of God's word. Because you'll notice it says here, verse 21, neither repented they, literally out of, the word ek, neither repented they out of their murders. In other words, out of their lifestyle is the idea. They didn't repent out of their way of living, out of their murders, out of their sorceries, pharmakeia, where we get the word pharmacy from. You know, you think there are people today that are living from pharmacies. And the drug usage today in our country is unbelievable. Pray for our president, because when you start dealing with illegal immigration, you begin dealing with drug trafficking, and you begin dealing with people that are hooked on horrible, hellish drugs that cause them to do anything to foster their habits. Once Trump opens up that door to start dealing with these things, all of hell is going to be against him. And we need to pray for the president and his cabinet and those that are enforcing the laws daily, daily, because the scriptures tell us, and we need to remember them in prayer. And by the way, when you get into the seventh trumpet, you'll be going into chapter 11, verses 15 through 19. But let me just quickly say that the woes, the threefold warning, and the title of our message was The Woes of the Coming Judgment. There's a coming judgment. We need to pray that men will come to repentance. There's some lessons for us here, and I want to share four of them with you. Lesson number one is this, that God is a God of love. But when his grace is rejected, there's nothing left but judgment. And we've seen that in this just fly through on the trumpet judgments. Lesson number two is this, that the judgments of the book of Revelation are not caused by man himself, like so many in the media today would lead you to believe. But it's because God judges idolatry and those that refuse to come to the Lord. Lesson number three, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And lesson number four, Christ bore our judgment on the cross. Isn't it wonderful that we don't have to go through this? Our Savior bore our judgment on the cross. Not only the judgment of our sins, but the judgment of the wrath that has been averted because of our relationship with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the book of Revelation, and we thank you, Father, that as we read it, we need not fear as those who do not have the confident expectation of the gospel. Thank you, Lord, that you've not appointed us unto this wrath. And Lord, these next two woes are dealing with the book of Revelation and judgment upon non-believers and judgment upon a satanic culture and nations. And Lord, we think of Babylon yet to come. And yet, Lord, we're mindful that so many of these woes that have been given unto us in our study on these 15 messages were woes of invitation to grace, where you broke into people's lives and changed their lives and gave them an opportunity to serve you and to be a source of salvation to others. But Lord, when we turn from your grace, there's nothing left but judgment and the curse of the law. And Lord, we see that in these last two divine repetitions in the book of Revelation. Thank you, Father, for your grace and love as we go before you in prayer with confident expectation in the priesthood of the believer, and that we can come boldly before your throne of grace as your children. In Jesus' name, amen.